we're not used to that type of dictatorship, I guess. And I don't know what to tell you as far as what to expect. We don't know what to expect yet. I 30 years ago went through the water supply watershed program in the state, and that was new. And we implemented it, and it was a change. We had some yelling and fighting, but it got over, and it was fine. This will be somewhat similar. So, right now, people moving into this area are moving in from urbanized areas that they're leaving. So they're used to it. I think they're used to the term of stormwater. Their control and management is probably something that they're familiar with. So I don't think it'll be. We had Mr. Manis, the farmer there, that was mainly concerned about buffering and all that. But most of the other people coming in here, I don't think it's going to be as big of an educational trend or being.
Because we had all the development stuff like I was hearing here, which is, if you're going to put in a building, it's got to be pretty much zero change. You cannot increase the amount of runoff. So you're either going to hold it on site or you're going to find somebody else who can hold it on site and trade off that credit.
And see, we're not big enough to be able to handle that kind of specifics. We're basically going to be able to go after large developers saying we're going to hold you to 24% impervious, and all your site planning master plans have to show us that you have controlled that, because we're not engineers. Most of our local, I'm a planner, I'm not an engineer, so I can't enforce, or I can enforce the law, but I can't maintain it, can't check it, I don't know what I'm looking at. So that kind of stuff, but getting that specific about each building and all that, we don't have the manpower for it. So, and when you say restoration, you mainly stream restoration, or you're talking about?
We do everything, streams, habitat, wetlands, kind of you name it.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Three Rivers? They've come into the county recently with some stream restorations, and I'm the floodplain administrator as well, so I deal with those guys. But it makes me wonder if that's what you guys do. Does a landowner contact you to bring you in to restore their stream? Do farmers do it? Do cities do it?
Generally, we deal with, to some degree, developers. We'll do it for them. We own, I think we own more mitigation banks in North Carolina than anybody else at this point.
Right.
So we do a lot of mitigation stuff.
Yeah.
We have also nutrient banking.
Yeah.
We do a ton of nutrient banking in Virginia.
Right.
So we'll do all that land conversion and then sell the credits.
So when you heard them talk about stormwater regulations and how that they're not, or even with the buffering, how that this is only going to affect those people who are going through land change, land use changes. Does that impact you? Because part of what you would do is retrofit and mitigate and all that. So in this case, if some land use that was existing, whether it was commercial or whatever, if someone came in and kept it going, we may not even have the regulations to say you have to retrofit. It's only if you change the use of it that we get involved. And at that point, it may be that your company may come in and do something like that. I don't know if that's how you typically get your contacts or contacted by these developers, is that they ran into a stormwater problem and we need you to fix it.
We're more into 404 problems, the Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, I see. I got you. That's interesting. That's because we've got big developers that our planning board are starting to ask for evidence of 401 and 404 permitting before they approve the development. And that's Greek to me. I don't know what that is. So, that's interesting that you
speak Greek. And what is that? Yeah, what is that exactly?
Mainly when you're going to cross a creek or do anything with developing of land, you may have to apply for a 401 or a 404 permit showing the state. Is that the Corps, or that's the Corps of Engineers, that they're going to be that you're meeting their standards, you're not going to break any of the state rules?
Corps does the 404 side, state does the 401 side.
Is that right? Okay.
And is that for like industrial or commercial building, or that's just building across the board?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Any development.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna keep this. I mean, you won't need this probably, but if you ever do, if you ever have questions, feel free to reach out to me.
Yeah.
You know, as this thing goes forward, I'll certainly keep your name in my folder.
I'll be down periodically. I'm trying to keep it in touch with this. It's kind of interesting. Way back, I used to work for EPA, and when they were doing this for the news, Mike Templeton was the guy I worked with at Carolina DEQ. He just did all the news.
Wow, that's
it was interesting.
Well, you've seen a lot, I can tell you that. You've seen you're a Chesapeake and the news, you've seen them all. I don't know of anything that you can that can shock you.
That's the benefit of doing it for almost 40 years.
That's it. I guess it is.
Great talk.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sir.
Rich, you did good, man. I
appreciate you
taking the board for us.
No problem.
So what we're going to do is just each of the facilitators from the facilitation team will report out what we heard, and then we will have additional time, a little bit of time, as Jordan was saying, to kind of open the floor up. But I'll go ahead and start. I was in the AgTag group, and some of the themes that were mentioned that people appreciated about what they heard, what they liked, was that it's building on existing programs, looking back to baseline, which was 2006, and thinking about, well, what's happened since then, and collecting that information, and learning about progress to date. And in general, there's a feeling that there's interest to improve, that there's kind of goodwill for improvement. Some things to change, how do you measure these changes? Like moving forward, like what does that look like? If it's a non-point source, you know, how do you identify what those measures are, how they're quantified? Also, a general interest in that soil and water districts want to support farmers in reducing these nutrients. What can they do? You know, what more can they do to support those changes? A cluster of questions around poultry litter and waste application, questions and concerns there, and noting the fertilizer crisis that we're in. And just to say that the AgTag has talked about poultry litter a little bit, and that would be the main topic for the next AgTag meeting. So that's a little bit of what I heard in that group.
Hey y'all, I was back with our group talking about riparian buffers. We talked a lot about the implication of change of use on homeowners and others and what that looks like, and essentially the fact that once you change that use, and even if you were going to plant your buffer yourself, that triggers it, right? So, we talked a lot about there were some questions about what streams does buffer apply to, and in the past that's been defined as permeable feeder streams. We talked about what one can do to manage buffers, what you can and can't do once you've got a buffer, and what you can do to manage it. There was some question about potential of grandfathering that I think our team will have to, over our buffers, will have to take a look at, our technical advisory group. There was some really robust and interesting discussion about the size of the buffers, of course, but the potential for mandating some sort of a buffer, and then allowing people to sell credits, which I thought was really good and outside-the-box thinking. We had a good conversation about other buffers in other watersheds that have come instituted some buffer rules. There was some concern about bankage. buffers around roads, and then one of the comments I heard towards the end that I thought really stood out was that sometimes the number or how large the buffer is less important than what you actually do with the buffer itself. So I think it was a really fantastic and robust discussion, and I was glad to be party to it.
Okay, hi everyone. I was with the wastewater group, and we had some interesting discussions. We didn't fill out the chart a ton, but some people mentioning that there were concerns from the municipalities about the costs, like what the costs are going to be to, especially to some of the smaller towns in the watershed, and that there might be state funding for things like that. So we were talking a little bit about how some of the other watersheds approach, there's a party going on somewhere, not sure about that. But we talked a little bit about how it's important to anticipate growth and what that will mean for, as wastewater plans like plan on making improvements. Someone who has a place on the water, we talked a little bit about like septic tank systems and just how long they last. I know that's still I know Joey mentioned earlier, that those are already pretty regulated, so it's unclear if these rules will actually affect that. But overall, we had a good discussion. And obviously, if anybody else has questions or comments, you can still post to all the posters if something else came up. Yeah, I'll pass it to Tara.
Hi everyone, good evening, thanks for staying. We're a skinnier group. I just wanted to first give a shout out to my group. So I was kind of a fly on the wall in this quarter with the stormwater group. So Brent, who I think might still be here but was ready to leave, Kelly Howard, thank you so much. There they are at the back. And Pat, who's visiting us from Virginia, was also part of our group, and Scott Leonard. And we had some really, really cool questions come up. But first I kind of wanted to address just this process. It's really cool that we're doing this here and that someone from Philadelphia who happens to live in North Carolina who just recently discovered what this watershed is able to share what I've heard, and I've learned so much just from being part of this process. So huge plug for just the transparency and just the sharing of information. This is so important. And as someone who is a boat person and who's trying to get her dog also to be a boat person, I spend lots of time on lakes. My dog is not a water dog, so. One of the things that came up for us is rail lines that are crossing tributaries and railways in general that are like really close up to our streams. So that's kind of a huge issue. That's not something that's come up before. And you know, that's a great question that's come to this particular charge because again, all of the experts are here. We haven't really thought about it just yet, but it's something that's very relevant because there are lots of railway crossings, the light rail, but also just freight rails. And not only are they crossing the tributaries, but some were very, very close to the stream. So that is a huge thing to consider. We talked a lot about, so again, because this is not my wheelhouse, there are lots of sort of buckets. So there was the design of stormwater controls, which have been discussed at length. And again, I'm not the expert there, so we've had a lot of rich discussion about that already. But I wanted to give Grace Messenger and Danica Heflin a shout out too, because a lot of what we're seeing in the High Rock Lake watershed is that we have, you know, big old Winston, right? And we have High Point, and we have like these areas that are experiencing incredible amounts of growth. Brett and Kelway have confirmed, you know, this is like more development, industrial, commercial, residential development that this state has seen since even before that bubble burst in 2008. And so this is like unprecedented. A lot of people who are coming here are coming from larger areas and they are familiar with urban development. And so stormwater controls and measures are not totally unfamiliar to them. But for small rural areas, Mr. M, who is no longer with us, the farmer here, like there are so many smaller communities and local governments that will be affected by this rule. So we are really trying to balance uniformity, consistency, so we can, as a group, really make strides to control and reduce nutrients. We could make this work for lots of different things, right? Because we have so many experts and so many talented people in so many big cities that can figure this out. But we really need to bring all of the communities up with us. So it's, I hate to say that we're, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this. Like, we want to do this together. So I'm plugging for the One Water approach. I'm going to cue the music here and say that it's been really great sharing space and time with you all. And I'm going to pass it back to Maggie to show us here.
Thank you. Yes, so lots of ideas coming out of those conversations. And we have a little, just a couple of minutes, but if there are questions or comments from you all that you want to make sure get lifted up as we start to close things out for today. Does anybody have anything burning that they want to make sure gets shared with the full group?
I'm on the address again, but this is going to be just a plug for Trial Unlimited. And what we do is for people who have land on trout streams and they need a buffer zone, we come do it for free. We put in the trees, we do the lot with the cattle country where the farmer will get the USDA grant to fence the cows and you know, get the water source, and we just come in and just force land. And I'll tell you, on the Earth Day, there's a lot of people who want to plant trees. It's another good time. There's a lot of other groups who will be willing to plant on non-tribal streams, you know, just anywhere. So those are free resources for anybody who's willing to give for the buffer zone because it helps us in many ways. And so that's how we help our community. So thank you.
Any other last thoughts here today? Anybody want to share?
Yeah. Just a wild here idea. I'm Amanda Sands, North Carolina Foundation for Soil Water Conservation. One of the big things that's happening at the state level, as well as within my organization, is looking at farmland preservation and how agriculture can serve dual purposes, not only providing food and fiber, jobs, but also environmental benefits, right? Carbon sequestration, nutrients, holding capacity, all those sorts of things. Is there a way to combine those kinds of efforts and really target specific farmlands for the purposes of those environmental benefits? Not just the jobs, not just the food and fiber, but are there key places where we absolutely need to focus funds on securing this land because it serves as that buffer, the strong buffer.
So, it's given up. That's the end. It's probably a perfect segue to close this out with a discussion with One Water. Because the three people, sorry, Kevin, I didn't give you a shout out earlier. But the table behind you is the one that is sort of spearheading the process. I will say that it's important for us to keep in mind that we sort of we're looking in two different directions. As regulators, our toolbox is very small. We are setting rules into place about what you cannot do. What you can do is up to you. As long as you don't do what we tell you not to do, if that makes sense. I don't mean to be trite, but the regulations are doing a very thin slice of the pie in terms of the overall work that needs to be done. And I think that there are partners that we're going to lean on to take that mantle and say, okay, well, they have set up the naughty list. Now let's work with high flyers and move in the direction of actually getting good work done on the landscape. It certainly, you know, we can envision a system where that helps feedback into the compliance process. We're still trying to figure out exactly what that looks like, but we want that to be part of the long-term vision of the watershed. And I would say the good thing about leaning on them as a third-party, non-government entity is that they have flexibility to do things that we can't do, that we're not allowed to do, we don't have the capacity to do. Farmland preservation is a perfect example, where they can mobilize resources that are not tied to certain legislative mandates that comes with all the strings that come with everything we do. They can mobilize resources and time and energy and partnerships that go above and beyond. We certainly see that as a valuable step forward, and we are going to make a concerted effort to when we focus our lens on the watershed to determine whether or not we're seeing improvements, we're going to zoom that lens out as much as possible to capture some of those non-conventional partnerships, the cross-jurisdictional partnerships, the public-private partnerships that are getting some of those improvements on the landscape that don't fit into our narrow regulatory perspective. So yes, and they are your resources. They are going to develop their process while I develop mine. We're going to try to find ways to make them work together. And in that vein, the sky's the limit. I'm responsible for the floor. So hopefully we can make those things work together.
Can you just mention
the grant also? Oh yeah, there's a funding program in Soil and Water that actually established buffers voluntarily. So yeah, there are cost share funds available right now to do a lot of the work that we're hoping gets done. I mean, there are dollars, you know as much as anybody. There are dollars available to do some of this work on a voluntary basis. All that credit goes toward compliance with this process. That's all good work that we're going to document. It's work after the baseline, coincidentally, so it gets us meaningful achievements and reductions over the long term that we can then point to and say, look, this many practices were installed, this many buffers were paid for, this many stormwater control measures were retrofitted. That's all good work that we want to see. There are funding programs that we're hoping to sort of shine a light on to make sure that they're strengthened, we get better outreach, we market them, because it's a perfect time to start talking about those underutilized programs that are already out there, the scaffolding, the infrastructure is already in place, get those dollars spent on the landscape, and you've got experts in this room that will help you make that a reality. Anything else? Is this it? Closing out? Thank you guys for joining us.
Survey.
Oh, we got a survey. One more plug.
There's a survey. We would love your feedback. We're always looking to improve. There's a QR code at the bottom of your agenda.
QR code on the white sheet. Please scan it or fill out the survey and or both. Please let us know how you feel. And as this process unfolds, I am here for anyone who has any questions or concerns at any point. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I am on the website, my phone number, my email address. I want this to be transparent and accessible to everybody. Thank you for spending your time with us today. Have a safe trip home.